This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is Super Bowl Sunday. The game is live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coverage begins at 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you're a Chiefs fan or an Eagles fan, I hope you're pumped. Like really pumped. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of pumped. Welcome to the Northern Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. A quick two-hour show with John Fricke here and you at 404-726-09. So we'll chat a little Super Bowl. We'll talk about some Hawks. And Hawks won again last night. The Hawks finally beat the Wizards. Yay. And then one of the new guys, Georges Niang, was like knocking down threes like he was Steph Curry. So that's kind of good. So, hey, look, you know, for all the bad things about the Hawks, that win last night, you know, yeah, they won. They lost the eight in a row. I get it. Last night, because Trey had 35 points and 14 assists. But, you know, that'd be good numbers if he were an all-star. God. Is that the Hawks are actually only a game and a half out of the sixth seed. They're a game and a half. And there's 29 games to go. So, I know Jalen Johnson. I'm not trying to speak anything to do. But I looked it up, and they have 16 home games left. They have no more trips to the West Coast. You know, they have a six-game homestand coming up. So, do I think they're going to end up making the playoffs? Yes. And if you think, well, that's a bad thing because we really need them to tank. No, we don't need them to tank. There's no point in tanking. Absolutely zero. They don't have a pick that conveys to tanking. They could tank all they want. They're still not going to get a lottery pick because they traded that pick to the San Antonio Spurs, and the Spurs didn't want to trade it back. So at the moment, what you're rooting for if you're a Hawks fan for the draft is that you're rooting for the Sacramento Kings, who are 10th and last, tied with, actually, Golden State, for the last play-in spot in the West. You're rooting for Sack of Tomatoes to play really well so that they get out of the top 12, because if they get out of the top 12, you get their pick, and you have the Lakers pick, which is, I don't know, going to be probably like 25 or something, and then you would have two first-round picks. If Sacramento falls out of the playoffs, then you're not going to get that pick, and you're going to be stuck with one pick in the mid-20s. So you're rooting for the Kings to win, and there's no point in tanking doesn't do you no good. You cannot touch a ping-pong ball this year. They fell for you last year with Reese Shea. You got none this year. There's no way to get one. Zero. So tanking is pointless. So because I saw somebody who said, hey, I hope the Hawks continue to lose after all these trades and they can tank and get all. And I'm like, dude, which part of this do you not understand? They can't be in the lottery, okay? They have no pick. So the best pick they have is the Kings pick, okay? You know, so that's what you're hoping for, is that the Kings continue to win. See, the problem is it won't convey to you, that's the big term here, if it's a top 12 pick. So it's not going to be a lottery. Kings are going to get a lottery pick. Kings fans probably wishing they would lose and get a lottery pick, right? because if they lose, then you're not getting the pick and the Kings will be in the lottery. If they win, you're going to get the Kings pick, but it won't be in the lottery. Do you follow all that? I know it's complicated. It's the NBA. It's about conveying draft picks, and the NBA has a lot of weird rules. But just suffice to say, tanking does you absolutely zero good. You might as well try and win, because even if you go and become a play-in team and you get blown out of the play-in, at least you got there, you know? So that's all I can tell you. You know, that's the best you could kind of hope for here, especially without Jalen. So we'll see how it kind of all plays out here for the Atlanta Hawks, who are back in action, by the way, tomorrow night against Orlando here on 92.9 The Game. So Ms. Noel is running point. She is, as I'd like to say, technical producer. She's the board operator. She's the executive producer. She's a call screener. She's the co-host. She's running the mothership back there at the station. Me, I'm just sitting in the Northern Kia studios with a microphone. Miss Noel, how you doing?
Pretty good today, John. Looking, doing better in here than it's looking outside, but pretty good today.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So anyway, I know. I later this week I have to drive through this stuff. A question for you. You and I had talked about you doing a video to show everybody exactly how hard the job is that you have to do and the people who run the board. Have you done that yet? Did I miss it or you haven't had a chance?
No, I'm in the middle of editing that one. It's a pretty long video.
I'm going to speed some stuff up
and edit it down. And yeah, so we're in the middle of that. So coming soon.
All right, so master control there for Noel. I really want you to, I asked Noel because she's pretty good at this whole, you know, taking videos thing and, you know, and posting them up here, to walk you through just how difficult her job and Oren and anybody that runs the board, how difficult their job is, because the board is so complicated with commercial loads and audio sound bites and having to cut stuff and answering phones and having to run the ship there with all these screens and having to balance all of it. It's really, I look at it and I go, yeah, no, thanks. No, that's not for me. I'll pass on that. You know, I wanted it so you can see what they have to do and have an appreciation for, you know, because they have to do multiple things. See, in television, the way television works, you'll have a master control operator, right? They'll sit in master control, and they run the commercial load, and they, you know, switch to air and things of that nature. But they're not switching and running the shows. The shows come from a different set, right, and feeds into master control. So there's somebody running the show in a different place on a different board, and then the master control person runs master control, which will handle all that other stuff, right, recording and commercials and whatnot. In radio, oh, and by the way, neither of them are on the air or have to answer phones. That's somebody else who's on the air and has to answer phones. In radio, you got to do it all.
Indeed.
It's really, you know, and then there are some people who have to do it all and host a show at the same time, which blows me away.
When they told us that in college, I couldn't believe that. I was like, yeah, to do all of this and host a show. But yeah, it's a very fast paced environment to be sitting the whole time.
Yeah, it is a fast paced, you know, yeah, right. Unless you're just babysitting the network or something. I mean, no, it's something, right? That's neither here nor there. I'm looking forward to Noel's video and tag all of us, Noel. Not just me, but I think you should tag everybody in the station. I really do, because I think that everybody in the station would retweet it and really get a good idea. And so, anyway, that being said, number is always 404-726-0929. It is Super Bowl Sunday. I start the show, this real super short show, till 11 o'clock by telling you you are welcome to call in and talk about the Hawks. You're welcome to call in and talk about the Falcons, because even with the Super Bowl today, we got stuff to talk about. United's going into preseason. The Hawks are a game and a half out of the sixth spot. You know, there's no reason to tank. We got all this stuff with the Braves. We could talk about it because I know I got a lot of reaction on whether the Braves pitching staff roster that they're going to start with is good enough, or you have to make another move. Some people say you got to make another move. I'm actually kind of okay with it. The rotation, the starters that are available, presuming health, and we're getting some good leak news out of Florida that Ronald Acuna and Spencer Strider are both ahead of schedule. So I don't think there's any reason necessarily to panic unless the right guy comes along. But you weren't getting Jack Flaherty. I mean, you're not paying him $35 million like the Tigers did. So, you know, I think you're okay. But I could be wrong here. And we bring this up only because, again, as the Super Bowl goes on today, the Hawks play tomorrow, United's in the preseason, and the Braves pitchers and catchers report in 3 days. In 3 days. This Wednesday, the pitchers and catchers are there down at Cool Today Field. So spring training is here. It's this week. So here comes spring training for the Atlanta Braves. You can jump in on all that, too, if you want to, and we can certainly talk about Super Bowl, because I want to let you know just up front here that as I talk about the game, I want you to understand something. If I were good at betting the Super Bowl, if I were good at sports betting, God love all of you, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. Why? Because I would just make money sitting in a – I'd be like in Vegas. Well, you can sports bet in a lot of places now, so it used to be only Vegas. But since you can sports bet in a lot of places, I'm not sure where. But I would be somewhere at a sports book, you know, living on a beach or something and going to a sports book on a daily basis and making a lot of money because I'm good at it. But I sucked at it, okay? So whatever you could, you know, John said that the Eagles are going to win. Yeah, guess which, you know, that's like the kiss of death, which is why I don't bet. I quit sports betting. I quit sports betting in my late 20s when I realized, I think I know a lot about sports, but I don't, I'm not good at this. I'm just not. Because my heart would get in the way of my head, you know? And so I found I was actually fairly good at sports betting when I had no money on the line. You know, if I was just kind of standing back going, okay, I see this and this, I was pretty good at it. You know, I mean, I was above 50% and, you know, and occasionally I was like, that's really going to happen. And it did. But once I put money on it, then I started to second guess myself and I started going, oh, I don't know about this. So the only way I ever bet the Super Bowl, Noel, was squares and props. Do you play squares? You ever played squares?
No, because like you, I am so bad at predicting the who's and the what's. And I'm usually better at it when it's not like a team I'm actually invested in. I can usually tell what's going on, read the tea leaves on every team but my own. But no, I stay away from all of it. I suck at it.
Yeah, I'm not no good at it either. So squares, for those of you who don't know, is a game that people play at parties where somebody puts out a sheet that's got 0 to 9 on it, down in a column on the left, and 0 to 9 on a column on the right, and you can just randomly pick. You know, you don't know what the numbers are because they've been assigned already. There's a master sheet which says which square. It's not like 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It'll go 5, 2, 6, 9, 7, 3. It's jumbled. Okay, so when you're filling out and buying the square itself, and you put your name in the square, you don't know what the cross tabs are going to be in terms of the score. One side, like up and down, is Kansas City. Left to right is Philadelphia. And at the score of every quarter, you know, if it's 3-0 at the end of the first quarter, you know, Philadelphia leads, you go Philadelphia 3, Kansas City nothing, and you just go down there, and whoever has that square wins that quarter, right? Follow me? And that's how you play squares. And so, some I played squares where it was $20 a square, and you put $100 in and buy 5 squares, and you get like 8 and 4, and or 8 and 2, and it's like, you know, you want to get the numbers that come up a lot, right? You want to get 0 and 3 and 7 and 6 and 9, and you know, so anything that comes up kind of, you know, more so than the other, like 5 doesn't come up much, right? How often do you get 5s? You know, the score's got to be, it ends in, you know, like 15-3, you know, 5-3. It's like, oh, it is a 5. So I'll play squares just for fun. I'll play squares at a Super Bowl party. I'm not having a Super Bowl party today. It's just me, the wife, and my daughter. But I'll play squares for fun, but that's just it, for fun. And the only time I ever actually did prop bets on a Super Bowl was in Mexico. And I went down to Tijuana, Noel. And in Tijuana, in TJ, there's a big sports book bar called Senior Frogs. You ever been to a Senior Frogs? It's actually a chain. I don't imagine you've ever been to a Senior Frogs.
Senior Frog. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So we went out to Senior Frogs. And the way I do props, and I've done it before too, and on other events in Vegas, is I'm the guy that puts like $20 on 20 props. And, you know, okay, if they come, if I win the prop, I'm fine. If I don't, it's just, you know, 22 to win 20 or whatever it's going to be. And just have fun with it, you know. And, you know, I'll bet the coin toss. I'll bet the color of the Gatorade. I'll bet, you know, over under on the first half. I saw some, you know, like how many times will over under will they show Taylor Swift? How many times over under will they show Donald Trump? By the way, did you know, and I didn't know this till yesterday, that Trump going to the game is the first time ever a sitting president has gone to a Super Bowl?
Really? A sitting? Like, I did. I thought to myself the other day, I think he's the only president that consistently goes to the Super Bowl. But I didn't realize he wasn't active when he went to. But I guess he wasn't active during our Super Bowl, right? It was leading into.
Right.
Hmm. Okay, no. Yeah, no, I had no idea this was the first one.
Yeah, the first time ever, which is interesting. I went, oh, wow. I wanted a prop on the over-under of how long a blackout would last this time at the toilet bowl.
I thought about that, too.
There will be a blackout at the toilet bowl. It will last over under 31 and a half minutes. I mean, because the last time, remember, they played it in the mm-hmm. swamp. Lights went out for 34 minutes.
Right after Beyonce performed. She took the lights
with her. And poof. And so Harbaugh and Harbaugh were standing around in the Harbaugh Bowl in a game that we should have been in. We didn't blow a 17-0 lead. Oh, my God. You know. Boy, I know. Everybody talks about 28-3. Let's talk about that Harbaugh toilet bowl and 17-0 to Colin Kaepernick. Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. So here we are. It's Super Bowl Sunday. If you want to jump into the program, you know, 404-726-0929. We'll talk a little bit about some of the interesting things about this Super Bowl. I have some thoughts about the Hawks, the Braves, as they get ready to ramp up here. See if you agree. And, of course, the Falcons are always, you know, they're down there at the Super Bowl having chats right now because all the NFL teams meet down there ahead of the combine. And so we got a lot going on in town, and you can be part of it as well on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Sports Radio.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Radio 99 in the game from the Northern Kia Studios, 404-726-0929 is the number. John Fricke with you. Super short show today, just till 11 o'clock. If you'd like to jump in, I'd love to hear from a Chiefs fan here. Love to hear from an Eagles fan here. How excited you are, how nervous you are. The only thing I hope for in the game, look, I hope it's a good game. I really do. I mean, we'll be watching, obviously. It is the Super Bowl, and don't miss the Super Bowl. But you know, I just really hope there isn't a call for the benefit of the Chiefs fans. There isn't a call that's like, you know, somebody blows on Patrick Mahomes and he flops with on third down and nine at the 41-yard line with 40 seconds to go that gives him an automatic first down. And everybody goes, oh, my God. Just don't have a – if you're a Chiefs fan, you don't want that call. Okay, you really almost don't. Because if you get the benefit of an obvious call, then you know how this is going to go, and it's not going to go well. Of course, you'll take the win. You're like, yeah, we'll take the win. Yeah, oh, I'm sure you will. You took the win against the Falcons when you tackled Kyle Pitts. You took the win against the Bills when you said, oh, no, he was short. Okay, sure. But anyway, I know you'll take the victory. And look, I take nothing away from the Chiefs. They are the new Patriots. Pat Mahomes is working his way into Brady world here. I mean, four Super Bowls in 5 years. Maybe win three in a row. I mean, this is which has never been done. I mean, all this is really good. Now, having said that, I actually think the Eagles are the better team. And you know, if I'm picking it, Noel, I'm going to go that the Eagles are going to win. But don't again, never ever. Ever, because the only time I ever bet on the Eagles to win a Super Bowl, my old buddy Hugh Douglas was playing in it against Tom Brady and the Patriots, and I was actually watching the game at Paris Casino in Vegas. I remember it vividly, and the Eagles should have won that game. T.O. was brilliant in that game. That's the game that Donovan McNabb was throwing up in the huddle. But they, of course, they didn't win, and Deion Branch of all people was the MVP. So I lost on that bet. Even though I said I think the Eagles are the better team, which I thought they at that time they were, and they played like it and just didn't go their way. So I think the Eagles are the better team here because I think if the Chiefs didn't get some calls, they're 17-2. And I look, they've won something like 18 one-score games in a row, which is insane. But without some of those calls, I the Chiefs aren't 17-2. They're more like 14-5. And, they're good. They're a good team, but I think that the Eagles are a better team. Lions' defense is healthy. I think the Lions are a better team, too. So, I actually kind of think the Bills are a better team, but they didn't get a call. So, but this is not to take anything away from Kansas City. Look, you win. Scoreboard says. Okay? So, you Chiefs fans have every right to be pounding your chest and chopping and saying, we are the big walking talking, because you are. And nobody could take that from you right now until somebody does take that from you. I mean, Andy Reid has proven to be one of the GOATs of all time. And I just so recall when Andy Reid moved up in the draft at number 10 when he already had Alex Smith. Alex Smith so tied to so many quarterbacks, right? San Francisco is there at the number one pick, and they're debating between Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers. Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers. And they finally go, okay, we're going to take Alex Smith. And Aaron Rodgers falls all the way to, I think it was 24 before the Packers picked him up. Who was the better quarterback in their career? Yeah, you know. But again, without busting his leg in about 19 places when he was in Washington, Alex Smith was a very good quarterback. And he was such a good quarterback in Kansas City that when Kansas City moved up to number 10 to take some gangly kid from Texas Tech, everybody went, what the hell? It was sort of like they were doing, it was in a way, the Kansas City Chiefs version of what the Falcons just did with Michael Penix. What are you doing, moving up? Why are you drafting a quarterback in the top 10 when you've got a guy? You know, you have Alex Smith. Why are you drafting a quarterback in the top 10? And that's what the Falcons, why are you drafting Michael Penix in the top 10 when you got a guy? Because Andy Reid said, yeah, we got a guy, but the other guy's special. And understand, at that time, all of us knew that, Patrick Mahomes could play, but he played at Texas Tech, and he was like Kyler Murray played at Texas Tech, right? Baker Mayfield played at Texas Tech. It's hard to tell sometimes. I put it in today. John, explain it to me in today's terms. Do you absolutely know that Shedeur Sanders is going to be a great NFL quarterback? Because I don't. Maybe he turns into Lamar. Maybe he turns into Pat Mahomes. That's entirely possible. He certainly has all the attributes to do it. Does it actually happen? A lot of guys have had the attributes and they didn't pan out, right? We don't know. It's a crapshoot. Quarterbacks are a crapshoot. Everybody says, oh, you got to take this guy. You want to tell me, 5 years from now, is Cam Ward a star? Maybe. Jackson Dart, is he a star? I don't know. Everybody seems to think that Jalen Milroe is impressing everybody. Is he? Is he Jamarcus Russell? I mean, he's not, because Jalen Milroe, if you don't know this about him, is actually like really super smart. He's like super smart. Jamarcus was kind of a head case. But You know, so I don't know. I mean, it's a crapshoot here when we're talking about quarterbacks. So when Andy Reid took Patrick Mahomes, a lot of us went, well, what are you doing? Well, he knew what he was doing. And that's all we can hope as Falcons fans, that for all of you who hate Terry Fontenot, that he kind of knew what he was doing when he took Michael Penix. Let's just cross your finger. You are rooting for Terry Fontenot. You can hate Terry Fontenot all you want. You are rooting for him for the sake of the franchise to have hit a home run on this. Okay? Because, frankly, Bijan, Drake, Kyle Pitts, you want to talk about not having guys on defense. Terry Fontenot's time as general manager of the Atlanta Falcons will be based on one thing. One thing. The career of Michael Penix. That's what it'll be based on. One thing. And so if Michael Penix turns out to be a star, then yeah. 404-726-0929. By the way, this head coach at North Carolina, Noel, did you see the North Carolina head coach trolling the Falcons? Did you see that picture?
Yes, I didn't see the picture, but I got a nice notification from Yahoo Sports, apparently. Because apparently
so the head coach, the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels is out there down in the swamp, and he's trolling the Falcons. I'm like, why? What are you doing there, champ? You know? But there he is, all 72 years of him, you know, with his 24-year-old girlfriend. And the head coach of the Tar Heels, she's wearing a... So he's out there, and people are commenting on, like, hey, look at his man boobs. I mean, he's got a bigger bra than she does. You know, so she's wearing this T-shirt that says, Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl champions. He's just totally trolling the Falcons. Just a... Why? I mean, what's the
Because he's still upset he didn't get this job. He has to be. He has to still be upset that he didn't get this job.
Excuse me. Did he get any NFL job?
No.
Did I miss that? There were seven or eight openings, right?
But apparently he thought, you know, going on the boat and all that extra that happened before the coach was actually named, he had to have think that job was signed, sealed, and delivered. And all his actions, and the only reason I say this is because all his actions after that have just shown exactly that. Like when
pettiness.
He was on the Manning cast with Eli and Peyton, he threw the Falcons under the bus again out of nowhere for no reason. Even had Peyton sitting there like, what? How'd we get there?
Right.
So it's just like the more that he does his behavior, the more to me it just solidifies that, yeah, you're really upset because you thought you had this job.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, but there's no reason. Look, you got how many rings? You made how many millions of dollars? You're dating a 24-year-old? I mean, you're kind of winning in life, you know? I mean, relax there, dude. You know, there's no... I mean, really? You have to... Anyway, by the way, I find the whole thing with him and the girlfriend to be kind of like, ugh. I mean, you know, just... I'm sorry, 72, 24? No.
Yeah.
If in my family, there would be an intervention. You know what I mean? Be a sit down chat. Like, dude, no.
Especially after seeing her wear the rings on the red carpet, I said, oh man, y'all are serious. This is getting serious.
Yeah, the $50,000 ring or however much it was, it was like, she gonna take you and all your legacy money, dude. Really? I hope it's worth it. Do you think this is love? That's what you think it is? No. Look at you, dude. You think she's attracted to you? Stop it. You know? All right, anyway. All right, I'll let that go. There's no reason to troll the Falcons, but I guess he feels like But it's not like any other team stepped up. You know, once Raheem was hired, it wasn't like the Swampers or the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars hired a weird dude from Tampa who's got 1 year of coordinating experience who's out there going, I mean, if they chose that dude over you, that you didn't make a phone call to Shot Khan, that should tell you something here, okay? All right, I'm just telling you. Everybody says, oh, when he could buy his way out of North Carolina and go coach in the NFL somewhere. I don't think that's true. I don't think anybody wants him. Because when you get right down to it, what did Tom Brady prove if nothing else? What did Tom Brady prove if nothing else when he went to Tampa? When the discussion was who was more responsible for all the Patriots things?
Yep.
For all that success. Was it Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
Looking like Tom Brady right now. Tom Brady looking has like the upper hand in that conversation.
Yeah. Everybody say, yeah, you without Tom Brady, you ain't nothing, dude. Okay? You're a 72-year-old man with man boobs dating a 24-year-old, trolling the Atlanta Falcons, wandering around trying to coach the University of North Carolina. Good luck with that, Tar Heel fans. Okay? Good luck with that. Yeah, I wouldn't want that to be my team. I'm just saying. All right, let's chat here, you and I, because here it is February, and the NFL, the leagues have gotten really good at, you know, and Roger Goodell addressed the media today, but the leagues have gotten really good at figuring out the calendars and how to stay in the discussion on social media, on radio, on TV, year-round. And they figured out, okay, we can extend calendars, we can place things. It was the NFL that kind of figured it out first, and then everybody else followed suit. And the NFL figured out, how do we stay relevant? Well, because here in February, you got the Super Bowl. And then at the end of the month, you've got the beginning of the Combine. And then into next month, you have legal tampering and free agency. And then in April, of course, you have the draft. And in May, you have rookie mini camps and all the league meetings. And then in June, you have voluntary camps. And in July, of course, training camp. Because we're only 5 months away from training camp. You know that, right? I mean, the NFL stretches it out so much that now the difference between Super Bowl Sunday and the first training camp opening is 5 months. And they pack those 5 months with other things, okay, in order to get headlines. And they're going to be doing a lot in the offseason in terms of headlines. Those league meetings, there are going to be some big things discussed and possibly changed. There could be changes to the playoffs. There could be changes to the regular season. There could be additional games overseas. I mean, they're going to make a lot of headlines. And they'll do so intentionally so that people like me and you talk about them, right? I mean, don't be shocked, by the way, if the Atlanta Falcons get sent overseas for a game. Now, it cannot be a home game because they're in one of those years this year where they play 9 road games and 8 home games. They would be the visiting team. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if we get news that the Atlanta Falcons, you know, because they come out with a weekly schedule in June, sometime in June. It's the only thing that's not set date. It's always like sometime in June. I think they just have to work out the logistics, which is why they don't ever say it's a set date because you're a lot of moving parts, you know, getting, you know, people passports and booking hotels and travels and all that kind of stuff, insurance and whatnot. That's a complicated job I wouldn't want to have. Whew, man. Travel secretary to book all that. But I think, for example, in this offseason, one thing to look for is the Atlanta Falcons having to play a game in, I don't know, maybe Germany. So that could happen for Michael Penix and company. All right, quick break here. I'd love to talk to you on a Sunday morning if you want to jump in. Hawks have won back-to-back games. You're confident that they're going to be able to kind of ride this little kind of new wave that they've got going and possibly make it into the playoffs? Are you rooting for that? I mean, or do you not care anymore? Are you just so disappointed about what happened at the trade deadline that you don't care? I mean, it's fine if you don't. Also, the newest trending food for Super Bowl Sunday caught me off guard. I'll tell you about it next because I didn't expect it. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio 99 The Game on a Super morning. And I'm not a super music guy, but I think seem to remember Bruce Springsteen wrote this song, correct?
That is correct, John.
Ah, see, I know a little bit about it. Man from Man's Earth Band. This is when I was a kid and when I was a teenager. Anyway, that's not got nothing to do with nothing. Welcome to it here. Super Bowl begins at 2 o'clock this afternoon of the Super Bowl. Noel White, who do you like in this game? Who do you think is going to win? You like the Chiefs or you like the Eagles?
Who do I think is going to win? The cynicism in me wants to say the Chiefs, but I am going with the Eagles. I think they have the better roster. I think they've been the better team this year.
Yeah, I'm going with the Eagles too, though, again, don't bet on that. Please, please, please. If you think the Chiefs are winning and they end up winning 47-3, you're going to go, why are you saying that? Because I'm terrible at betting. Who knows? I mean, they always do these things where they run like 10,000 simulations, right? And the Chiefs win 60% of the time and the Eagles win 40% of the time. Well, when they're running 10,000 simulations and they don't get a consensus because we can't know, right? You can't know. It just, things happen. And so it beats the hell out of me. But I think the Eagles are better team. Are they going to choke? They could. And Jalen Hurts could go out there and light it up and throw three touchdowns and everything goes their way. Or he could get balls tipped and batted and the next thing you know, because that's the game, right? I mean, so I don't bet on it. I'm going to go and roll Eagles win the game, but we'll see how this goes. So in Super Bowl food, right? So Super Bowl food's always a topic around Super Bowl Sunday. It's a huge pizza day. It's a huge wing. Do you know how many wings are consumed according to the food experts during Super Bowl Sunday in the United States, Noel?
And they say something like upwards to a million?
1.5 billion.
Woo!
1.5 billion wings. Yeah. And all I could think was, wait, don't we have the whole bird flu thing where eggs are costing like $95 a dozen or something, but they managed to find enough chickens to have 1.5 billion wings? It's like, okay. So what's trending this year, I just looked this story up because it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's not going to be a surprise that sliders are trending. Philly cheesesteak sliders, Kansas City barbecue sliders, okay? Not a surprise. You know, people get into these arguments about Philly cheesesteak. Should you use, provolone or should you use American cheese? I'm not going to get into all that. You pick yours. They get into the arguments about barbecue. I'm not going to get into that. You pick yours. I don't like Kansas City barbecue. Not my thing. Way too sweet for me. I like North Carolina barbecue. When I moved to North Carolina in 1989 and had to go down to Lexington for a meeting, and first time I was, well, it was actually a golf tournament, and somebody said, this is real Lexington barbecue, and the first time I had it, I went, oh, okay. The vinegar and the mustard and stuff work for me, okay? And it doesn't work for everybody, but some people like the really sweet stuff in Kansas City, which is fine, they like the Baby Ray's and all that, and that's good. Hey, look, you like what you like. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? I mean, I'm not passing no judgment to nobody. I'm not telling you have to like what I like, and you're going to go, what you like is terrible. Yeah, okay, but that's what I like. So I'm not right, you're not right. I'm not wrong, you're not wrong. It's just what you like. To me, the idea of cheddar on a Philly cheesesteak doesn't sound appealing. I've never had it. Maybe it would be. To me, it's got to be mozzarella. But again, I've never had it with cheddar, so I can't actually speak to that. So that's trending. What I didn't expect to be trending was charcuteries. Now, I love me a charcuterie, okay? A really good one, that's fine. But I didn't expect that, because does charcuterie sound like, I guess it's a Super Bowl thing, right? If you went to a Super Bowl party, there'd be a in a way, it's kind of a charcuterie of fat foods. But these people are putting together these huge, real charcuterie boards with all the fancy dancy honeys and jams and jellies and all these 18 kinds of olives and whatever else they're doing on these big gigantic charcuterie boards. I guess they're trying to outdo each other on social media. I don't know, Noel. If you walked into a Super Bowl party and you saw a gigantic charcuterie board, would you say, yeah, that's it, I'm good for that?
No, it would have to be an option. It can't be the only thing, but it's a great start.
Yeah, that would be the way I am. Oh, look, I love charcuteries if they're well done and the food's good. I'm good with it. Glass of wine, little charcuterie. On Super Bowl Sunday, I want to walk in and see like six pizzas and a good chunk of the $1.5 billion wings, okay? And some seven-layer dip and stuff like that. I want junk food, okay? To me, it's a junk food Sunday. That's the whole point of it. That's where I go. I can't imagine, for all of you who work at Papa John's, for all of you that work at Little Caesars or Johnny's or Mellow Mushroom or, Antico's or wherever you're working, whatever pizza shop you're working at today, I feel for you. And the reason I feel for you is, in my life, when I was a much, much, much younger man, I worked at two pizza shops, okay? I worked at Godfather's and I worked at Pizza Hut, both for fairly brief periods of time. Because back in those days, you had to stick your hands into an oven. There wasn't this like rotisserie thing where you just put it on a belt, like they do now. Noel, they put it on a belt and it goes through the, and it comes out the other side. You know what I mean? That did not exist. You actually had to turn pans with a big, gigantic pair of pliers and stick your hands into hot ovens. And
ooh, that didn't sound fun.
No, it was no fun. And I finally got burned so many times, and, you know, and you get a rush, and I was like, okay, I'm done. You know, no more pizza slinging for me. So I feel for all of you today because, you know, look, if you're a delivery driver, I guess you're thinking, hey, listen, I'm going to make bank today, which I'm sure you will. But boy, you're nonstop. You're going through a couple tankfuls of gas today trying to make this all happen. Because all of it's going to come at once, right? I mean, it all comes between like 4:30 and 6:30, correct? It's not like anybody's ordering pizza at noon.
Yeah, no, it's all going to be the same rush. Like you're saying, about 4 or 5 into like 8 or 9.
You know, it'll be, right, it'll be like super rush, 4:30 to 6:30, and then there'll be another kind of halftime rush that happens, and you're not watching the game because you're just too busy, you know, hurling around the area trying to get pizzas into people's mouths here. And so the way I look at it is, I mean, I thought about pizza today, and I went, yeah, I think we'll just figure out something else because there's so much. Did you know that Super Bowl Sunday is actually not Noel? This is something else I learned. Actually not the number one pizza day?
No, I didn't know that. What's the number one pizza day?
It's number two. All right, so let's play a little game here. Super Bowl Sunday ranks as in the United States as the second biggest day of pizzas consumed. What is number one? When I tell you, you go, okay, it kind of makes sense.
I have no idea. What's number one?
Halloween.
Oh, okay. Well, I would have never came up with that.
I know, I wouldn't have either. I would have been like, New Year's Eve, no. New Year's Day, no.
Right.
You know, I would have been all around it. Halloween, but it makes sense because everybody getting the kids ready, right? You're getting the kids ready, and you don't have time to cook.
Yes, real quick and easy. Eat some pizza or some wings, and let's get out the door.
Just get some pizza because we got to get the kids into their costumes, and we got to get the candy out, and you know, we got people coming over, and you know, whatever. So Halloween, number one. I wouldn't have guessed it, but that's Halloween. More pizzas on Halloween than on Super Bowl Sunday. And in a way, because people have different things that they do on Super Bowl Sunday. Not everybody has pizza or wings. You know, other people do other things, you know. So I went to a Mexican Super Bowl one time, Mexican celebration, when I was living in San Diego. And, oh, my God, it was a smorgasbord. That was like one of the greatest meals I've ever had because the ladies that fixed it, you know, oh, my God. I mean, it was real. It wasn't like, you know, Taco Bell or anything. No, this is the real McCoy, okay? These are the real. Their tamales were, they had like four kinds of tamales, mild, hot, you know, chicken. I mean, I could have eaten about 100 of those. I think I did, actually. I think I did. I think I had like 7. It's like, oh, my God, those are so good. All wrapped up in huge bins of these hot tamales and all kinds of things. So, I mean, that's kind of wild. We can have a chance to chat here. Who do you like? What are you expecting from the Hawks? Braves start Wednesday. Let's talk a little bit about it. I got some time to talk to you. Let's go to Kyle. He's with John on a Sunday morning. Hey, Kyle, welcome to the show. Oh, we just lost Kyle? Let me bring up a couple of things that aren't Super Bowl related. You're certainly welcome to talk about the Super Bowl. I do want to talk to you a little bit about the Hawks. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Braves and a little bit about the NFL. I'll start with the Braves here. Pitchers and catchers on Wednesday. And by the way, thanks to everybody, if I could just stop for a second, who replied to my post on X. And thanks to Randy Mack for the shout. I do appreciate it. I put a personal post on X you can go see. And Randy Mack shouted me out, and I do appreciate that. I posted out on my X that, and I think I'm doing this right. Oh, you can go see the, by the way, you can go see the goat's man boobs and his girlfriend, and you tell me who needs a bigger bra. Anyway, I asked if people were okay with who the Braves are going to kind of go to spring training with. On Wednesday, pitchers and catchers report. So we have Chris Sale, right? These are the starters. Not including the non-roster invitees, okay? And by the way, the Gwinnett Stripers could have a hell of a rotation. They could have a hell of a rotation. Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez, Spencer Schwellenbach, Grant Holmes, Spencer Strider, Ian Anderson, A.J. Smith-Shawver, Bryce Elder, okay? So those eight are vying for the, right now, the top five, possible six in rotation to begin the year. And I asked the question, are you good with this? And so as you look at it, you say, okay, even without, I know you lost Max Fried and you hadn't replaced him because you just didn't, right? So you got Chris Sale. All he did was win a Cy Young. You got Lopez. Schwalenbeck has been saying, look, because people were asking, is there going to be a second-year swoon? He's like, I ain't going to be no second-year swoon. I'm out here for blood here. So that's kind of a good thing for him. Grant Holmes, Spencer Strider. We are hearing, will be there right at the start, at the jump, and that he's ahead of schedule. So, again, that's all I'm hearing. We haven't seen him yet. So I've seen a little bit of limited video of Ronald Acuna hitting soft toss and off tees and things, but I haven't really seen Strider throwing here. But if we can get Strider back in the first month here, Braves are pretty confident that Ian Anderson's finally going to be healthy. Can we get the Ian Anderson of 3-4 years ago? You know, I mean, could that happen? And then you have Smith, Shauver, and Elder. I'm actually okay with this because in Sale and Lopez and Schwalenbeck, you have three proven starters who are top-of-the-line starters, obviously. With Spencer Strider, if he's healthy and back fairly soon, that gives you two frontline guys in Sale and Strider. Because let's not forget, before he got injured last year, who was the favorite to win the Cy Young? Spencer Strider. Who ended up winning Cy Young? Chris Sale. So Lopez, Schwalenbeck, Strider is the top four. And then you have Holmes, Anderson, Elder, Smith, Shauver. I think I'm okay starting the season with that. And you have some other guys, you know, that you could certainly plug in there who could spot start for you. You know, you have Wander Suero and you have Dylan Lee. I mean, you could do a bullpen game and things of that nature. So I think beginning the year, and this is where you Braves fans could tell me, because some people have said they're not. Beginning the year, I'm actually okay with this. But if you're concerned about it, that's fine. I'd love to hear from you at 404-726-0929 because it's a Super Bowl today. It's baseball on Wednesday. And so we got to start talking about it big time here because here it comes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.